number 785. I think most of us will recognize this song. No, Brother Jim does. Have a duet.
All right, we're going to sing All Your Anxiety, All Your Care. While we sing, if you can think of a verse that goes along with this, let us know about it when we're done. All right, we're at 567 in the Hymn Book.
Is there UCC, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear.
Does anybody have a verse that comes to your mind? Bill. All right. Somebody else. Honey?
19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Amen. Marge?
In Psalm 55:22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Never a friend like Jesus. Sharon?
Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requesting be known unto God.
Amen. Anybody else? Good. Good. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Hebrews. Chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9. Pardon me if I get a little excited about Hebrews, but I think there's a lot to be excited about in the book of Hebrews. I just enjoy it so much. And we are seeing that Jesus is better than the Old Testament because the New Testament is actual, where the Old Testament was typical. And last week, if you remember, we were looking at some of the furniture in the first tabernacle. And they were typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that tabernacle was a sanctuary on earth, whereas it was a sanctuary in heaven where the Lord works. Its materials or furniture are typical. Remember the candlestick, the light of the world, table. Jesus is our safety in the presence of our enemies. Showbread, Jesus is the bread of life. The veil, Jesus is the veil that once parted allows us entrance into God's presence. And by the way, let me just say it again. That veil bars sinners from God's presence as Christ's life bars us. You know, if all we had is the life of Christ, It would simply bar us from heaven because he lived perfectly. And we do not. But folks, he died. And he had victory over the grave. And now he lives. And we can live too. And just as that veil was parted once a year for the high priest to go in, the veil is open for us who've trusted Christ to go on in. And that veil is Jesus. We saw the golden censer. Jesus is our intercessor. Remember the Ark of the Covenant with the pot of manna, Aaron's rod, the tables of stone in there, the cherubims that covered. We talked about them. The mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. Now we come to verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Here we're going to see that the first testament or the first tabernacle was typical. And we see that its sanctuary was on earth. And the furniture is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we're going to see its priesthood is temporary, whereas our priest Christ is everlasting. So the priest could enjoy the holy place, but not the Holy of Holies. Look at now verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The priest could enjoy the holy place. All right, they could go in there, table of showbread, the candlestick, and what other was in there? Candlestick. And the altar of incense, all right, where was the golden censer, which they would take into the Holy of Holies. They could go into that place and enjoy their work there and do the service of the Lord. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year on the Day of Atonement, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Notice how the high priest must continue to offer this atonement every year. Year in, year out. Day of Atonement. In fact, the Jewish people today still commemorate the Day of Atonement. And yet they've missed the atonement that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they go on in their service, much like the tabernacle of old, without having full salvation. Notice how the high priest must first make an atonement for his own sin. I'm so glad that my high priest doesn't have to worry about his own sin. And I don't have to worry about his sin. He has no sin. He's without sin. Without guile. Without deceit. They could find no error in his words or in his life. And he does not need to first die on the cross for his own sins and then die again for the sins of others. No, he has no sin of his own. But this high priest must first make atonement for his own errors, as it says, the errors of the people. That would speak of ignorant sins, sins that they may not even be aware that they've committed. It still needs to be dealt with. I wonder, since you've been born, since you've lived, and you sit here tonight, can you actually think of all the sins you've ever committed? Could you ever outline them all and get them written down on paper? Could you, before God, delineate them all? Well, number one, I did this when I was a child. Number two, number three, number four. I don't think there'd be enough numbers, all right, to take care of it all. It's numberless, the errors of the people and the errors of myself as I stand here before you today. But I'm so glad I have a priest who does not have to offer for himself and then offer for the errors of the people. So that priest, the priest could enjoy the holy place, but not the Holy of Holies. My Savior has no problem enjoying both those places in the true tabernacle up there in heaven. And we'll get to that as we go to the verses following here. Verse 8, we're going to see that the first tabernacle basically was incomplete. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. You know, and this kind of goes back to the teaching we did a few weeks ago about how it's the New Testament is so much better than the Old Testament. I'm glad that the tabernacle does not stand anymore. I'm glad the temple is gone. Because there is a better tabernacle, a better temple, a better priest, a better sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first tabernacle was incomplete, and as long as it stood there on the ground, you know, with the pegs sticking it into the ground, it could not make manifest the way into the Holy of Holies. Every year, once a year, the high priest would go in, but you know what? He came back out, and the veil was closed up, and God was left alone in there in the Holy of Holies. We had no one who could go in there and stay in there. And no way could any of the priests have boldness enough to come there and say, I'm allowed in there too, and go right on in. But you know what I've been told? I have access into the Holy of Holies. I can go right into the presence of God. We sang about all your anxiety and take it to the Lord in prayer. In the song, it has something to do with prayer in there. You know, when you bow your head, close your eyes, and you start talking to God in prayer, you know where you're at. You're in the Holy of Holies. You're right there in the presence of God. Well, I don't know. I'm still down here in Catasauqua. Yeah, but you know what? Spiritually, and this is biblical truth, you are there in Christ Jesus. You have, Ephesians tells us that by the grace of God and through salvation through Christ, we have been seated in the heavenlies. And that word for seated is not just, you know, you think of a chair, you know, a folding chair or something like that. It's talking about a throne. We have been enthroned in the heavenlies. We're seated together in Christ on the throne, up there in the very presence of the Heavenly Father. That's a wonderful thing that we have. All we have to do is go there in prayer, and there we are. We're right there in the midst. But while the tabernacle still stood, it signified something, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. And it wouldn't be until Jesus would come, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. In verse 9, we're going to see the first tabernacle was only a figure of the perfect tabernacle in heaven. Verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, referring to the Old Testament time while that tabernacle stood there in the middle of Israel's camp, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. See, the first tabernacle was only a figure of the perfect tabernacle in heaven, which can do, which can go a lot further as far as taking care of our sin and the consciousness of it. The conscience could not be cleansed with the offerings of the First Testament. In fact, quite the opposite actually takes place there. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Just go over to verse 1 of chapter 10. I'm going to read down through verse 3. Okay. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, that would refer to Jesus, and not the very image of the things, which can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. They kept on offering them, didn't they? They'd bring an offering. And very often, if a man, and if an Israelite was really honest with himself, he'd probably bring another one the next day. And the next day, and the next day. Because that the worshipers once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. You know, as long as that tabernacle stood there, and with the sacrifices that had to be continually offered, rather than purging their conscience of the sin, it simply kept on reminding them of their sin. Now look at verse 14. We're going to go a little, now I'm back in chapter 9. I want you to go forward a little bit to verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, it's just a wonderful thing when you know the Lord is your personal Savior to understand the biblical doctrinal truth. All my sins are gone. They're gone. And I do not need tomorrow to somehow provide another sacrifice or an offering unto God for my sins in the past, present, or even the ones I will commit in the future. I don't have to worry about that. The Old Testament Israelite, well, we'll be back again next year, Aaron, for the Day of Atonement celebration. And we'll once again watch you go in and hope you come back out. and then all of his sons who took over when he passed away and so forth. Oh, the remembrance of sins constantly being brought to their minds over and over and over again. As far as I'm concerned, all sin is dealt with at the cross, and it's done. And I do not need to worry. And this is why the Arminian doctrine that you can somehow mess up your salvation by future sin or apostatizing and getting away or, you know, things like that, that has to just tear someone up mentally and spiritually. Never really ever having the doctrinal truth that teaches once saved, always saved. Once forgiven, always forgiven. Not just one sin, but all sins taken care of by Christ on the cross. I like this song. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Aren't you glad we don't sing a song like this? Jesus paid some of it. All the rest is up to me. Yeah, well, what hopelessness, you know? Boy, give me a song like Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, you know? Crimson flow has washed me white as snow. Those are good songs. And they're based upon Bible doctrine found right here in the book of Hebrews. Well, we come to verse 10. We see that the first testament, that first tabernacle, had its base upon ordinances, while the New Testament is based upon the cross. All right, look at verse 10. Which stood only. Now it's talking about the gifts and sacrifices offered in the tabernacle. Verse 10. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of reformation. Now that time of reformation speaks of Christ coming, paying the price for you and me on the cross. That's what time of reformation has reference to. Nothing else but that. But notice, while the tabernacle still stood, it stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances. The priesthood was under ordinances, but Christ is a better priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, which has no imposing ordinances or carnal things attached to it at all. It's all wrapped up in Melchizedek, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not have to go under these things that were imposed upon them in the Old Testament. Go to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Now, we're not going to read this whole chapter. I just want you to see some things in here of what's being talked about here. In Leviticus chapter 11. Verses 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. And then verses 3, right on through the whole chapter, they're being told what they can, what they cannot eat. Here's the clean animals. Here are the unclean animals. You can have this to eat, you can. Here's the birds you can eat, here's the birds you can't eat. It's, as it says here, it stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings. You look at that whole chapter there, it's quite an interesting chapter. You can find out what the Israelites were allowed to eat and what they're not allowed to eat by reading that whole thing. But you get to the very end, verse 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. I come back to Hebrews and I read that word imposed on them. Imposed on them. Until the time of reformation. And the word reformation means to set things aright, to set them straight. Reformation. You know what? The Reformation with the Catholic Church and the Protestants is them coming out of Catholicism and they're reforming, you know, and Reformation. No, the Reformation is at the cross. That's where Reformation, that's where things get set straight, right there at the cross. But until the cross, all these things were imposed on them. But now my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the time of Reformation does away with all that imposition of meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances. He fulfills them all. He takes them all. In fact, don't we even see Peter's vision with a sheet from heaven with clean and unclean animals in there? He says, hey, don't call that unclean which I've cleaned. Speaking of the Gentiles, how he would cleanse us through his blood and also the nation of Israel cleansed through his blood. That's a time of reformation. We're not under it anymore. Oh, how Peter had to learn a lesson that day. And I believe he learned that lesson, although later on in the book of Galatians, Peter and Barnabas had to be straightened out by the Apostle Paul. Remember, they kind of lost their way there and went back to the old way of thinking there. We're not justified by those things. We're justified by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had to reprimand them in Galatians. You can always take a look at that again if you would like. But oh, I'm so glad that Hebrews just keeps on going with this. Look at verse 11. But Christ. You know, you always enjoy those but Christs. But we see Jesus. You know, those interjections into the text. By the Holy Spirit of God. But Christ. Being come and high priest of good things to come. Meaning that what they had then was not the best. There's a more perfect way. And it's a better way of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Now that would have reference to the temple standing there in the middle of Jerusalem while this book was written. It was still standing. You know, you got to get a hold of when this book was written and how it must have how the people must have reacted to the things being said in this book, when the very building he's talking about, which is, he's saying, is inferior to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's strong language. I mean, these people grew up with that. You ever try telling someone about their need to be saved and how that, you know what, you've been going to church all your life and the preacher's never told you how to be saved. You need to get out of that church. Oh! You're attacking their cultural heritage, their traditions and everything. I had a man say to me, when I told him we don't celebrate Easter, he said, well, you know what, though? I've been brought up with that. That's my traditions. I felt sorry. Felt sorry for him. Yeah. I'm going to say this. Jesus does away with all the traditions. He tears them all away. And just like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, after saying, let's build a tabernacle for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. A voice from heaven said, oh no, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased, hear him. And when everything went away, all that was left was them and Jesus alone. Jesus only. I like that. I like that little detail there in the Word of God. Because that's just where God wants to leave us, with Jesus only. No traditions, no churchianity, just Jesus Christ. Oh, that is to say, not of this building. The New Testament is actual. The First Testament is typical. The New Testament is actual. And you say, oh, wait a minute. That was an actual building back there. Yeah, but you know what? It was only a figure. It was only a type of the real thing. In fact, Moses was told by God, now you make sure you make this tabernacle just as I give the pattern for it to be done. And why? Because it's just a type. It's just a pattern of the true and perfect tabernacle up in heaven. Not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Folks, the better tabernacle is up in heaven. The more perfect tabernacle is up in heaven. And I'm just going to say this. I believe when it's saying this, that it's actually saying Jesus is the tabernacle. Jesus is the building. He's the veil. He's the table of showbread. He's the Ark of Covenant. He's the mercy seat. The cherubims are there to protect his holiness. The blood on the mercy seat's his blood. You know, it's all Jesus. Now, I don't quite grab a hold of it, and I don't know how to explain it in words that are sufficient for our understanding, except to say, I believe Jesus is the greater and more perfect tabernacle. The whole tabernacle is wrapped up in him. Is there an actual, you know, building and tabernacle up there in heaven? I believe it's wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And you can't get any better than the real thing. And we'll see in chapter 10 where it talks about it being a shadow. Just a shadow of the real body. And the body's Jesus. Well, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We'll look at this next week. The sacrificial blood is even better. And it ends up purging the conscience completely of all remembrances of sin. All right. I don't know. These are just so beautiful things in the Word of God. I want you to walk away from the book of Hebrews with a better appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, what he's done,
what he's doing, what he's going to do for us for all eternity. I hope that it's a blessing to you. It surely is to me. How about it? Would you say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you say that? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you would say that in your mind and heart. Yeah. Jesus, lover of my soul. And you know what? I love him because he first loved me. Yeah. He is all I need. He's all I need. You know, as long as that tabernacle stood, there was a remembrance made of sin every year. They never could get over it. If it was sufficient, they would have offered one sacrifice, and that would be it forever. Imagine Aaron coming out of the Holy of Holies the one year and say, well, folks, listen, God is totally satisfied, and he told me in there, I don't need to do this next year. Well, you know, that's silly, and they had to do it every year. But you know what? The time of Reformation did come where God said, I am satisfied. I am satisfied with the sacrifice and with the blood put on the mercy seat. And we do not have to do this again. Amen, huh? Amen for that. Now, the Catholic system does it again every single day. I see them going in there when I go to work at the local Catholic church there. There's a group of women and men there celebrating the Mass of the morning. They're re-sacrificing Jesus again for their sins that they did yesterday. See, their system is no different than the Old Testament tabernacle. They got to keep bringing the offering. They don't know that offering of Christ is sufficient forever. Forever. All right. You won't hear from your preacher for another 2 weeks, all right? So you get a break, all right? You pray that God would bless our time as we go. And we'll be working even though we're gone. And you work too, serve the Lord. By the way, here's a good tract. I wanted to tell you about it. Truth Wins. Truth Wins. A Nun's Story. If you haven't picked this tract up, pick it up. Keep it handy. Maybe you'll be able to use it at the right moment, at the right time. A nun came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She came to understand what I was talking about tonight. We don't need to sacrifice Jesus again and again and again. Once for all. It's on the back there. I think it's on the table. Pick one up on your way out tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fellowship around the Lord's table. Thank you for good songs. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who we've talked about in our passage here tonight. May it bless our hearts and help us to go out of here with Christ on our lips and on our mind. And may we share him with whoever will listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.